Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Matt Broderick, who started Jolly Good Media with his wife 10 years ago. They assist a variety of businesses with their website, media, and marketing. So today we're going to be discussing Matt's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Matt.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Yes, of course. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
Hey, so what would you say really motivates you as, you know, an entrepreneur and an agency owner?
As an entrepreneur and an agency owner, I think I'm motivated every time I see a web design company that I don't feel has other people working behind it that are working for the customer's best interest. I think this is such a new and evolving industry.
Yeah.
And I feel there needs to be some kind of... Not authority in there, but someone that's making sure that, you know, it's the clients that are really thought of.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different traps. People don't really still know a lot about the internet, but they know that it's important for their business.
Yeah. And so you're just so passionate about what you do that when you see someone who's, you know, you just know you can do a better job, you've got their best interests at heart, it really fires you up.
I think most people who call us up say something along the lines of, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. This kind of stuff, it just is kind of like a little bit alien to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me think that there's so many scams and so many pitfalls for these businesses, which are really important to our community to fall into.
Yes.
And I just really want to be someone who doesn't need to explain the internet to them, but is a trusted source where you know that you can come to us and we'll take care of it and we're trustworthy.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. And how did you originally get into digital marketing?
So it's really wrapped up with my wife. We've worked together for the last 10 years and we pretty much started the company right after we got together.
Interesting.
She's American. I'm British. We met while she was traveling around England and eventually many years later, I was traveling around America.
Yep.
We got together and she was a VA at the time. With this,
okay.
This company in San Francisco, and it was one of the first companies to start really giving people VAs in kind of like a mass way. So she was doing a lot of social media marketing. She was doing a lot of Pinterest, nothing really to do with websites.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually the company that she was working for completely imploded. It was like the Enron of San Francisco
something
like that. And we put our heads together and thought, well, not so much enjoying the social media side of it anyway,
mm-hmm.
Because we're all a little bit conscious about the effects of social media, on us as a whole. But we really like making websites. And
yeah.
So we started making websites for people. The first one we made was just a resort in Honduras near where we were staying. Gave us a chance and I learned a lot. I should probably go back and remake their website for free or something because I'm not sure we did a great job.
Interesting. Okay. So very cool. And then, when you first started out, with your wife, you guys have, just started out Jolly Good Media. What were some of those challenges that you had to overcome in the early days? How are you bringing on those first few clients?
Well, you're kind of learning a skill as everything's evolving.
Yes.
I mean, the whole internet landscape looks so much different than it did 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I imagine the biggest change for me is just logging onto Facebook, and they've changed the layout again. Mm-hmm. You know, what else? Obviously, getting clients was a hurdle. We started out in California, and it was a much more economically challenged place. Mm-hmm. So the quality of the clients at first wasn't great. Mm-hmm. What I learned early on, kind of somehow paradoxically, is that the more a client is willing to pay you, the easier that client is. Have you found that before?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It can be, yeah, the people with the smallest budgets that can be the most particular and kind of like the high maintenance customers.
Exactly. So for the first 5 years, that was all of our customers. Mm-hmm. And so we were learning so much stuff at the same time, and we made all our mistakes in those. Well, no, we're still making mistakes, but we made a lot of them in that first 5 years.
Yeah. So, and then, so how were you, you know, getting in touch? How were you bringing leads into your agency to help grow it? Like in the early days?
I've always been a big believer in the community method. So mm-hmm. I joined Chambers of Commerce. Team Referral Network was their version of a BNI mm-hmm. over there. The first 5 years was kind of like a BNI kind of atmosphere. But then again, we tended to be I think it was like two web design companies in the area. So when someone wanted to go local, really they had to choose between us and this other person. Mm-hmm. And we did look at our competitor to see if there was any way we could kind of show ourselves to be different. What are they lacking? What are they missing that where we could be the answer to that?
Yeah.
And at that time, it was definitely customer service. We're really into our customer service.
Interesting.
So okay. I think the majority of people really came from those days, just Chambers of Commerce's and BNI, which is probably mm-hmm. why the quality of them wasn't great.
Yeah. Well, it was probably a lot of start other like new businesses in BNI networking, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And I can't completely say it was bad at all. I made some terrific friends there.
Yeah.
And there are some businesses that were really good. They're helmed by really good people. So it was a good part of my life as well.
Awesome. And then, so how has your, you know, strategy for bringing in leads evolved over the years? What are you guys currently doing now to be continuing to grow Jolly Good Media and bring in more leads into your agency?
You know, actually, I'm not doing much for leads at all. We've reached this part. So we moved a location from California to Oregon mm-hmm. about 4 years ago. And the quality of the clients improved dramatically. It was just a different situation. This is nothing California to Oregon.
Interesting.
It was just kind of the town. But we've kind of come to this place where our SEO seems to have finally kicked in. Mm-hmm. So we're getting plenty of leads through the website and not really even changing the website that much, which is really nice because we've always tried to do a due diligence in terms of collecting reviews. For example, we're very much into review management.
Love that.
Making sure that if you know, as soon as we published a website, that we put it all on our website as a case study, mm-hmm. for example. So making sure that you do the small things to update your website, I feel eventually does help out. If you really want to get into the big SEO thing, it's a long game. It's a really long game. If you're not completely, you know, focusing on it.
Yeah. So you've got some organic leads coming in, and then it sounds like also referrals from your existing clients, as well as how you're bringing in most of your work.
Oh yeah. Referrals, hugely popular. Yeah. I really prefer the face-to-face. And I think clients really do as well. There's mm-hmm. perhaps, I'm not sure, but I get the rumblings that people are really starting to look local when they want things like web design, which runs a little bit counter to how it's been for the last 7 or 8 years, that if you need a web designer, you look on the internet somewhere else. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter where they're from. But I think whether it's because people have been burnt a couple of times or whether they're just starting to really appreciate local, a lot of the time, the phone calls I've been getting over the last 2 years have been, "You're local, right?" Although that might just be my accent that puts them off.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, no, that's a really interesting observation, because I mean, it's no secret, you know, digital marketing definitely has a little bit of a reputation for, you know, there's definitely people out there who don't have the best interests of their clients at heart. So Yeah, that's interesting that you've, you know, experienced that a lot of people are more looking for local businesses to serve them.
Well, I should probably say it's not necessarily they don't have the best interests at heart, but I've seen a lot of web design jobs and marketing jobs where you could say that this is just a template. They didn't really think about what the business was. And mm-hmm. there's a couple of things on that website or part of that marketing that almost seems to run counter, and only runs counter because this was from a template.
Right. Yeah. There's not that personalized touch. It's just kind of like a one size fits all cookie cutter solution that they're doing for all their clients.
Exactly. So that's what we do. Everything that we do is personalized and built from scratch.
Right. Okay. Very good. So what is your secret to maintaining happy clients who are going to help bring in referrals to you down the road?
You have to ask for referrals. I feel that we've got a lot of great responses after we finished a project and everyone's happy, just mm-hmm. kind of saying, you know, is there anyone out there that you feel could use our services? Referrals mm-hmm. are a huge, huge part of bringing in new yeah. business. And yeah. what's great about them is they're primed to like you straight away. They've already got a good relationship because yeah. they've probably come from a trusted friend or business person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what, it's so simple, and it almost seems obvious, you know, ask for the referrals, but mm-hmm. not a lot of people do that. They just, you know, kind of wait for the referrals and take more of a passive approach. So definitely, you know, implement asking for the referral whenever you complete the job as just part of your standard process. Mm-hmm. I think is so smart, makes so much sense.
And there's a ticking clock as well. As soon as you finish the process, the longer you wait, the less likely it is that they'll refer you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
very true.
The reviews, isn't it? It's got to be fresh in the customer's mind.
Yeah, definitely going to help boost your chance for sure. Yeah. Yeah. These things that you should just be, you know, when you're billing someone, be asking for a review, be asking for the referrals, make sure that you're not forgetting to be doing those things. It's super helpful.
Yeah. Now on keeping people happy, like I said, a lot of our clients aren't internet natives. So mm-hmm. slowing down, explaining things, you could be on the phone for a long time explaining to something to someone who's just not going to get it, mm-hmm. but they appreciate that you tried.
Yes.
And I think contacting someone before they contact you is very, very great as well.
Yep. It's a good point.
Making sure that they think that you're thinking of them before they have to follow up with anything. Mm-hmm. I find that often leads to a better experience as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it just shows that you're thinking about them. They haven't been forgotten, you know, they're on your radar, and you're making sure that there's no confusion popping up. And I think that is such a great point and a great way to really help build that trust in the working relationship as well.
That's what we think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. Awesome. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Jolly Good Media?
Oh, the anxiety that the tools I'm using could be so much better, that I'm not using maybe I've outgrown some tools, but I'm not really at the stage because I'm so busy all the time.
Yeah, the really pressure of like staying current and staying up to date with like current as the industry grows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I imagine more experienced web designers will probably have a good answer to this. But I find because our solutions are often so unique or not cookie cutter, mm-hmm. that projects, a little habit we have is sometimes projects can go on a little longer than we wanted to because we didn't really see the scope of the project before we started. Mm-hmm. So that becomes a challenge when, you know, you need to get this project away and other projects to come in. They can often just level and you find yourself working till, you know, midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning because mm-hmm. you're just trying to get all these projects out.
Yes. Yeah, that can definitely be a challenge. Have you come across any solutions to help manage that scope creep to ensure, you know, you're not eating into your budget that you've allocated for projects?
I could point to a dozen or so little programs and ways that help. It's usually about productivity and time management when it comes down to it, but also setting expectations. I think I've got a lot better at setting expectations with people and being much more thorough in the discovery process. Mm-hmm. Really trying to find out what the scope of this project is and how much it's actually going to cost. Another big problem is pricing what you think is what they can afford as opposed to what's fair, which mm-hmm. I have a huge problem with as well. There was like a little book club from a local library that came through and they couldn't afford anything. And I was just, I just want to make your website for you. So I ended up, making that website for next to nothing. And as we said, surprise, surprise, they ended up being one of the longest clients we've ever had because they had so many little demands. And halfway through, you don't want to say, hey, look, I'm building this for next to nothing. You know, that was the relationship. So at that point, you just got to push through it and make a good website and hopefully think that you're not going to do this to yourself next time. Mm-hmm. Some people need to be turned away is, I guess, the point.
Do you sometimes just have to say no to a client when they're, asking things that maybe you're not comfortable with or aren't in line with services that you're offering? Is that something that you've had to, utilize from time to time as well as just saying no in a nice way?
No, in a puppy dog way.
Yeah.
I heard Ernest Hemingway. It might be Ernest Hemingway. He had a framed picture of the word no above his desk. Mm-hmm. Because saying no is one of those things that we're not very good at, that we need to get a little bit better at.
Yeah.
And certainly something that I need to get better at as well.
Yeah.
Because again, it circles back. If this organization comes, they can't afford anything. I just think, okay, they're going to go online. They're going to go on Fiverr. They're going to get someone that really doesn't understand what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And the communication is going to be horrible between them. If I don't do something, that's the experience that they're going to have, which, is probably going to be the experience, but it's something that I'm gradually learning isn't something that really I need to fix.
Right. So you're just working on really identifying who your ideal customer is and who you want to be working with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hardening my heart to say no.
Yeah. It can definitely be challenging when, chances are you got into this industry because you love helping people. That's something that a lot of digital marketers genuinely do have a passion for. So it's definitely something that we can all be improving on is, putting those boundaries in place from time to time.
I'm particularly concerned about senior citizens when it comes to the internet. It's so easy for people who really are not digital natives to fall into, and this is unrelated to web design, but just scams, traps, all that kind of stuff. It really is like a Wild West situation on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that keeps me up.
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you see Jolly Good Media in 5 years' time?
Oh. I've got everyone else to do my job and I'm relaxing on the beach.
you've got those systems and processes put in place so that, you're not going to be a bottleneck to the company and it's just going to run itself like a machine.
Well, that's a good question. I've got a couple of clients. We might start just focusing on helping the clients we already have got and develop them. One thing that's always kind of gives me pause is when someone gets a website, but they are not planning on doing any development of that going forwards. So I tend
like
to say-
Like they don't want to be maintaining it on an ongoing basis.
More that they feel that the website by itself will be enough to bring in business.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Which is something to just kind of stop them and say, a lot of people like to say, if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. I feel when it comes to web design and online marketing, that is not the case at all.
No, not at all. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So we're going to be wrapping up here shortly, but do you have any, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners before we move on to the Fast Five?
Oh, yes. Review management, number one. Reviews are stacked against you. People like to leave reviews when they're not happy. They don't like leaving reviews when they are happy. Mm-hmm. Having that management system is really important there. Calling your customers and having that face-to-face relationship, I find very, very, not just good for the business, but rewarding. Mm-hmm. I love the feeling when you've explained something to someone in a way that they can finally get it. And they feel a little bit more confident in their business. I really like that. I usually find it doesn't matter what I'm reading, but as long as I'm reading, I'm doing better in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the act of reading. Maybe it stops you doing terrible things.
No, it is relaxing in a way. You know, it's able to direct your attention, so can kind of like shut off the chatter. And then of course you're like constantly, it's like that self-improvement aspect as well, constantly learning and helping you to improve your skill set. So I think that's a great tip.
Cool. And I think I had one more. Setting boundaries. I suppose it's corny, but it helps. It helps reduce all of the anxiety and stress. Mm-hmm. And also knowing that that imposter syndrome that some people tend to get, mm-hmm. a lot of people are getting that. You're not alone in that.
Yeah.
It's a changing, evolving industry. We're all just trying to run to keep up. If you start learning media studies in year one of a college degree, it's outdated by year four.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is like a certain level of anxiety that just kind of exists below the surface. That's more of a hum that you need to get used to of keeping yourself updated.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and it's going to just motivate you, give you that push you need to constantly be growing and evolving and staying current with the technology.
Yeah. One program I've come across over the last week, they're kind of small, they're unknown. It's called Motion. It's a program that uses AI to schedule your calendar. So if you've got a bunch of tasks, it'll automatically tell you which one to do next. And I'm finding that very, very useful.
Very cool.
You might be great at web design, but not everyone's great at managing their own time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely something as an entrepreneur, you can constantly be perfecting that, I feel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Okay. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I love reading books. I love reading business books. As long as they're not too padded out, if the book has something you can understand within 5 minutes and the rest of it is just stories about Muhammad Ali or AT&T or something like that, then I'm probably going to pass it. The book that had the least fluff, in my opinion, that just had some really great advice was Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Definitely got to check that out.
He did several studies in the early 90s on a wide variety of big businesses, mm-hmm. to find out what made them the difference between these really successful ones and the ones that were just kind of average. And some of the lessons in that are really, really great. Like, for example, sticking to what you know best and not trying to be the master of everything.
Yeah, there was such great advice.
Do you mind if I share a little story?
Yeah, go ahead.
This one got to me. It's the hedgehog and the porcupine. I wrote a blog on it. It's on our website.
Okay.
It's the idea that, so there's this porcupine and this fox, and the fox wants to eat the porcupine. And so he tries every kind of way. He tries jumping, spikes, tries burrowing, the thing rolls up. And the main difference between these two is the fox is trying all sorts of different ways and never coming out on top. Well, the porcupine only really has to do one thing, curl up. And that's what makes it so successful and will never get eaten. If you can do one thing really, really well, I think that's more marketable and better for your business than if you try and just do absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
Why we try and focus more on the web design aspect than the marketing aspect.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, great lesson. Love it. And so what does your morning routine look like?
I grunt as I roll out of bed and hobble over to the coffee machine.
Not a morning person, I take it.
Every now and again, maybe like twice a week, I'll manage to get in some kind of exercise. I do have a rowing machine back there, and maybe I'll do like a meditation if I feel up for it. But mostly, because we work from home, it's me just slinking to my desk going, it's not a great morning routine, I'll give it that.
I love the honesty. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not in a big kind of way, but I will give this over to my local CEO of my local Chamber of Commerce. Her name is Victoria Meinig, and she is an absolute star. If everyone could be like her, the world would be a bad place.
Love it. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh my God, there's so many, aren't there? It's probably like some kind of aspect ratio calculator or something like that. really small and asinine. I know what it is. When it comes to SEO, I really, really like answerthepublic.com, especially when it comes to explaining SEO to clients. So Answer the Public is this free resource where you type in something like plumbing and it'll give you all the questions that people are actually asking online around plumbing, they're asking them to Google. So that's a list of questions that that client can tackle in blogs. And that's a real eye opener for him because it switches it from what do I write about to here is a list of questions that everyone in the internet really wants the answer to.
Yeah, that's so smart. Yeah, love that. Very cool. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
One thing I'd know when I began my career, probably switching to Beaver Builder in WordPress. We had 2 or 3 years of just using themes and stuff and figuring out themes, and I don't like using themes. Mm-hmm. It's probably the kind of clients to really try and avoid. And the boundary setting that comes. But these are all things that you really learn from experience. If you knew them at the beginning, you might not be as good at them.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Matt. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about your journey of starting and growing Jolly Good Media. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode.
Before we go, I just learned that, you know, the Hallmark Channel?
Yes.
So my company is called Jolly Good Media. They're about to release a movie called Jolly Good Christmas. Now, are Hallmark movies usually really good? I've never seen one before.
No, they're notoriously cheesy and bad.
What? Well, I still have to watch this movie, Jolly Good Christmas.
You're in for an interesting surprise. I will tell you that much.
Maybe my local cinema will let me play it there. No.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, thanks again. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.